Bobby DeMiro.
Getting close to the bottom of the hour here on Charlotte's News Talk 1110 WBT. And this is the Bobby DeMiro Show. Tonight, we are talking about healthcare and the future of healthcare in America. And specifically right now and for the next couple segments, the Affordable Care Act. And questioning whether or not it's constitutional, whether or not it's going to be truly effective if it even passes as we know it right now, and more. And I want to go right now to my aforementioned guest right now on this topic. Karen Duquette is the Director of Legislative Affairs for the Civitas Institute here in North Carolina. Karen, welcome to the show. Karen, you there?
Yeah, hey.
Hey, sorry about that. We had a little mix-up, but you're here now. Now talk to me about the Affordable Care Act. Maybe most importantly first, what's your read on the Affordable Care Act and its upcoming ruling in the Supreme Court? Does it pass? Does it fail? I mean, what's the future of Obamacare as we know it?
Well, my personal opinion is that it's going to fail completely fall on its face. You know, that was my hope all along, but you know, after hearing the oral arguments, I feel like it could be a real contender that they find it unconstitutional. I mean, after listening to the oral arguments, I think Scalia, Alito, and Thomas are clearly in support of finding it unconstitutional. But then, based on the oral arguments and their questions, Roberts and Kennedy seem to have some serious issues with its constitutionality.
Yeah.
And if that turns out, you know, to be correct, then we'll have a 5-4 favorable decision in finding it unconstitutional. So, you know.
Something that I saw, one recent poll has 38% of people want the ACA entirely overturned, like what you're saying. 29% want just the mandate overturned, and 26% want to keep the entire law. And it sounds like the justices are kind of split like the American public. Why does the law seem so unpopular with the general public? I mean, does the complicated language come into play? Was it the issue of how it was presented to us? What is not appealing about this?
Well, while we're talking about polls, I want to quickly bring up some North Carolina-specific data.
Sure.
In Civitas' last live caller poll, only 29% of voters believed that we should have an individual mandate, and 64% didn't think that that was a good choice for Americans. And then also, 69% of those polled believe individuals should be in charge of their health care as opposed to any government entity. And those are really powerful numbers. You know, you're seeing that nationally and in North Carolina. Americans are smart, and you know they cherish their individual freedoms, and they've seen that Obamacare will lead to more of their personal healthcare decisions being made by a government. They've heard about the wait lines in other countries and the lack of R&D being invested because there's no market-driven incentives to invest in healthcare.
Yeah.
You know, they know about the crazy increases in taxes and healthcare costs that have been predicted. I mean, even their own government's latest estimates are astronomical. And, you know, while we all want healthcare reform, we don't want it at the cost of bankrupting America's future.
Well, you know, and let's talk healthcare reform. And you mentioned the mandate. Let's go to this. The ACA has been protested vigorously on the right, of course, and it seems like a lot of trouble stems from this mandate. And you mentioned it. Is there a solution here to reform healthcare without the mandate? I mean, if the ACA is not overturned by the Supreme Court, but the mandate is that a legitimate compromise? I mean, how do we reform healthcare moving forward without this mandate issue?
Well, I think the individual mandate itself would give us a lot of problems. It would essentially force all the health insurance companies to keep all the regulations,
yeah,
which would increase premiums, but would not mandate individuals to sign up for health insurance. So because the premiums would be continuing to skyrocket, more and more healthy individuals would probably choose not to have health insurance and take a gamble while leaving primarily, you know, the sick and high-risk people in the market.
Yep.
So I think that could be cast off again itself. But, you know, there's lots of ways to look at viable healthcare solutions without an unconstitutional individual mandate. I mean, the mandate would be the first time in America's history that people would be forced to purchase something simply because they breathe. And I know there's been an argument that, it's just like auto insurance. You know, you want to drive on the roads, then you have to have auto insurance. But really, driving a car is a choice, whereas breathing, at least, you know,
yeah,
first for me, it's not a choice. It's something that you have to do simply because you exist.
Yes.
So, you know, let's look at free market solutions. There's things we can do that don't infringe on our rights. And I think the biggest reforms could come from Medicaid and Medicare. You know, we've got these astronomical costs in federal entitlement spending. You know, we've got long-term unfunded liability of Medicare program, and these are benefits that are not financed. and those cost almost $37 trillion. That's a lot of money, and it's growing by the day, and several people have suggested plans. You know, we've got Paul Ryan. Even Senator Burr has been kind of in the the reform mix. And the main theory behind Medicare reform is premium support. You know, it's a defined contributions. The government makes direct and fixed payments to a health plan chosen by the enrollee. And so, you know, you can also look at income-based subsidies. You can make Medicare more competitive with private plans in a more competitive and transparent bidding process. And similarly with Medicaid, you know, you could look for a subsidy-like plan and get rid of some of the more unnecessary optional services out there. And then finally, just real quick, increased transparency is a big deal, I think. You know, health insurance used to be for catastrophic coverage only. You know, you got into a really horrific car accident, and you came down with a really bad disease or disorder. But now you go into a doctor's office, you have no idea, maybe past the copay, what that visit actually costs. And we've got to make a system where, you know, value and costs are more transparent. You know, what are you bang for your buck? What exactly are you getting? And I think that'll help control health insurance premiums. It'll put the patient back in the driver's seat and really make a sound decision for themselves, you know, on an individual level. Is this cost, is this test worth, you know, its value?
Talking to Karen Duquette from the Civitas Institute right now about the Affordable Care Act here on News Talk 1110. And Karen, you know, you're kind of heading that way, but, you know, there's talk in the public health field that should the Affordable Care Act be repealed, calls will come pretty quickly to replace it with something, and there's going to be some sort of massive health care reform down the road, whatever it looks like. Are we that far away from health care reform in general in this country, or is that something that's going to be so hard to take on, we're going to have a lot of trouble with it in the future?
Well, there's no doubt that our healthcare system has serious problems. I think both sides agree with that, and especially government programs like Medicaid. You know, they've traditionally provided benefits for the poor, and, you know, unfortunately, Medicaid isn't only fueling a federal entitlement crisis, but it's also bankrupting states and providing substandard care to a lot of these enrollees. And Medicaid alone costs $400 billion annually, and according to the chief Medicare and Medicaid actuary, that number is actually going to double to $800 billion by 2019. Yeah, so I think another problem with just the financial cost of Medicaid and other federal health care programs is, you know, that it treats all states the same. It wants to box them all into this one-size-fits-all, and really that's, you know, that's proven that that isn't the case. You know, no two states are alike, you know. So setting up something like an interstate compact where the states, you know, basically get all of this federal money in a block grant and they decide what's best for their citizens, that's something to look at. Maybe a premium support system that I mentioned earlier. Let private insurers compete, you know, for these Medicaid enrollees' business. And, again, give them more empowerment, you know, give the beneficiary, the enrollee, more empowerment to make decisions for themselves.
Absolutely. So, either way, healthcare reform is coming. Karen Duquette from Civitas, I really appreciate your time. Thank you, ma'am.
Sure, no problem. Thank you.
All right, we're up against a break, but coming up next, we'll be continuing this discussion on the state of healthcare, the outlook for Obamacare, and more on the future of healthcare in America. I've got some thoughts, but I want to hear from you. 704-570-1110. You are listening to the Bobby DeMuro Show on Charlotte's News Talk 1110, WBT.
News Talk 1110, WBT. Update.
At 6:30, I'm